So my question to you right now is, do you know what you're feeling? What if everything you felt in your heart became the reality of your world? What if everything you felt in your heart became a command to the mind of God? How differently would you live every day? For example, would you make the extra effort maybe to help someone else's life be a little easier? Would you acknowledge them in ways that perhaps you had not in the past? In 1998, I was with a group on our way into Tibet. And before we reached Tibet, we were acclimating to the elevation and having orientations in the country of Nepal, specifically in the city of Kathmandu. Part of our acclimation there, I wanted to invite people into some of the temples and the sacred sites, some of the earliest known sites in the Hindu traditions. And in these places, we had the opportunity to be around huge groups of locals, the native peoples who were there. And one of these areas was called the Barkur Square, just a beautiful area inside of Kathmandu. And as we were with our group, and we had a translator and a guide that was describing to us the history of the square and the architecture of some of the buildings, and the crowds of locals were so thick they were pressing against us physically. I mean, we were confined into a very small space. And I kept feeling a tug at the pleat on my cotton pants. And at first I ignored it because it was so subtle. And then it happened again, and I couldn't look away, and I looked down, and I wasn't prepared for what I saw. As I looked down, I was looking into the eyes of a very dark-skinned, very intense man who was just about knee level to where I was standing. He had long, silvery wisps of hair that were blowing across his face with the hot wind that was blowing across the square. And he took me by surprise. And as I glanced down below his body to the place where his legs should have been, all that was there was an old wooden board, rounded on the edges from years of use and wear. It was on wheels, and this apparently was his only means of locomotion. The man was naked except for a loincloth that covered him from the waist, and that loincloth was draped down onto this board. He apparently had no legs, and this was his only means of getting around. And I immediately assumed that he was a beggar, that he was asking me for a handout. And I reached into my pocket to give him whatever Nepalese money that I had in my judgment of this man and what I thought that he wanted from me. And what he did surprised me. He motioned away from me with his hand. He didn't want my money. He actually refused to have any money that I was trying to hand to him. And he simply turned around and he pointed up to a very beautiful building. And it was a building that I hadn't seen before. We'd missed it when we walked into the square for some reason. And I looked at this building, and it was just a beautiful building that was set back with a facade in the front of the building. Rather than being solid facade, it was made of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tiny figurines in the image of Hindu gods, all intricately carved in what appeared to be an ebony or a mahogany wood. And I looked up, and I was in awe. The building was so beautiful, I wondered how I had missed it. And I looked down to thank the man, and he was gone. There wasn't a man there. And my eyes darted through the crowd, and I began searching to see if I could find where he was. And suddenly the people parted, and I saw his back as he was moving away from me. On his board, he was scooting over to the other side of the Barkur Square. And I thought about going after him and thanking him for what he had shared with me. And I had a feeling that he had done what he came to do, and that by me looking at what he had shown me, that our relationship was complete. And it dawned on me what this man looked for. He wasn't looking for a handout, and he wasn't a beggar looking for money. He simply wanted to share with me the beauty of his land through his eyes and from his perspective, and he wanted to be acknowledged. And in that acknowledgement, when I acknowledged him and we had our interaction, I felt that that was the completion of our time together. And I'm sharing this story now because I thought about that man a lot throughout that trip. And the interesting thing was, although our relationship lasted only a matter of a couple of moments, and then he was gone, what I found was that I missed him when I didn't see him. And I thought about him throughout the trip. And I thought about how different my world would be if I had not met that man on that day, and how different my world would be if I didn't know he was there. I'm sharing this now to invite you to look into the world around you and look at the people that you might judge, the people that are crossing the street, in the crosswalk, as you waited the light, safe in your vehicle, and the thoughts that you have about them and the way you may judge them as being fat or skinny or tall or short or beautiful or something other than beautiful. What you think about the tattoos and the piercings or what you think about the way they're dressed. And then think how empty your world would be if you had not just had that experience, how much you would miss those people. And from this perspective, when we begin to become very conscious of the uniqueness that everyone brings to our lives and how very special every experience really is, we begin, I believe, to really grasp what it means to live each moment of each day and know that those moments are prayers and that we are in constant communication with the world around us. It's an invitation for us to give thanks of gratitude and appreciation for the beauty and the uniqueness, even the strange things that we don't always understand or agree with, because that's what brings the beauty to our world that makes us who we are today.